This is Bad Cop, No Donut, for the week of January 19th, 2006.
All right, freeze! Police!
Bad Cop.
No Donut.
Bad, 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 bad.
Cop, 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 cop.
No, 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 no. Donut, 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 donut.
Because I'm the law, and I rule.
With your weekly wrap-up of North American police brutality, misconduct, and corruption, I'm Ron Anisich in Toronto. Stay tuned after this week's headlines for an interview with Professor Samuel Walker, co-author of the 2002 and 2003 University of Nebraska studies entitled Driving While Female, A National Problem in Police Misconduct. But first, here is a look at what the police did to us this week. A San Jose, California police officer was arrested last Thursday for sexually exploiting a student at a high school where he volunteered as a basketball coach. The San Jose Mercury News says that Officer Kenneth Williams is charged with 5 counts of inducing a minor to pose for the purpose of producing an image containing sexual conduct. An investigation began after a complaint was made about Williams' inappropriate conduct at the high school in December. A search of the officer's computer revealed evidence of the crime. Williams has been placed on administrative leave. A woman who was the victim of a prank claims she was beaten by San Diego, California police officers on Sunday. KNSD reports that police say they responded to what turned out to be a prank phone call about child abuse when they confronted the woman in the hallway of a building where she lived. The woman claims that after she refused to allow the officers to search her home without a warrant, they dragged her down 3 flights of stairs before pepper spraying her while she was handcuffed in the back seat of a squad car. The woman claims that the officers then dragged her back out of the car and severely beat her. The woman was treated in hospital for shoulder and knee injuries, as well as an assortment of cuts and bruises. The San Diego Police Department has launched an internal investigation. The chief of police in Camas, Utah, was suspended for 2 years over a domestic dispute with his stepdaughter. The park record says that Chief Eric Ovard was suspended after a 12-1 vote by the Peace Officer Standards and Training Commission. Ovard was accused of handcuffing his daughter twice before placing her in the back seat of his police cruiser last March. Minutes later, he is alleged to have choked the girl. Last April, Ovard pleaded no contest to charges of unlawful detention and domestic assault. A sheriff's deputy in Lemhi County, Idaho, will not be charged with his second drunk driving offense this year. The Idaho Statesman says that Deputy Sam Slavin was sentenced to 1 year of probation and had his driver's license suspended for 30 days last April. On December 28th, he was witnessed by fellow law enforcement officers drinking beer while on duty. Witnesses say that Slavin drank 2 or 3 beers in less than 15 minutes before driving away in a police vehicle. Prosecutors in several jurisdictions refused to prosecute the officer for his most recent offense, citing conflict of interest and insufficient evidence. State police refused to investigate Slavin's on-the-job drinking because of a lack of available resources. A sheriff's deputy in Trempealeau County, Wisconsin, has resigned following an investigation into his conduct on the job. The Arcadia News Leader reports that Lieutenant Mike Wineski was under investigation for sexual harassment. Some reports indicate that a female co-worker of Wineski's intends to file a lawsuit. Local authorities refused to discuss details of the case other than to confirm Wineski's December 31st resignation. Wineski is the brother of Whitehall, Wisconsin police officer Daniel Wineski, who is currently serving a 7-year prison sentence for sexually assaulting a 14-year-old girl in his squad car. A police officer in Waterloo, Iowa, resigned last Friday after being charged with sexual misconduct earlier this month. An Associated Press report says that Sergeant Richard Kniff was suspended in September when he became the focus of an investigation. Kniff is accused of having sex with an inmate at a local jail. He is facing up to 2 years in jail and a $5,000 fine if he is convicted. A Kansas City, Missouri police officer was sentenced to 10 days in jail on Friday for stealing money from motorists at traffic stops. KMBC reports that Officer Mershon Pope was arrested in March after an investigation during which he was set up by undercover officers at a fake traffic stop. Pope subsequently pleaded guilty and quit his job as a police officer. In addition to the 10 days in jail, Pope was also sentenced to 6 months of house arrest, 40 hours of community service, and a suspended one-year jail term. A Columbia, Missouri police officer was arrested for driving under the influence of alcohol on Sunday. The Columbia Missourian says that Sergeant Gerald Green was immediately placed on paid administrative leave while an investigation is conducted. A Chicago police officer who has previously pleaded not guilty to corruption charges has changed his plea to guilty this week. WLS-TV reports that Officer Michael Acosta is accused of stealing $4,000 intended to pay for police luncheons. He is charged with mail fraud. A Chicago police officer was arrested last Thursday for running an illegal gambling operation. The Chicago Tribune reports that Officer Richard Teresi ran the gambling enterprise from a storefront which he owned. The business was supposed to be operating as a hair salon, but no salon equipment was found inside. An investigation began in December after a man complained to authorities. Teresi was also charged with possession of an unregistered firearm, which was discovered during a search of his locker at work. Teresi has been reassigned and will appear in court next on February 7th. A sheriff's deputy in Warren County, Kentucky, was arrested last Tuesday for driving under the influence of alcohol. An Associated Press report says the deputy, James McDowell, said he was under the influence of prescription medication and alcohol at the time of his arrest. Both of McDowell's sons died in separate car accidents which occurred within 20 minutes of each other on December 7th, after the pair had been drinking with their father at a local bar. A reserve police officer in Muncie, Indiana, was fired from both of his jobs last Tuesday after being accused of having sex with a 16-year-old female detainee. An Associated Press report says that Officer Daryl Brower also worked at the Delaware County Juvenile Detention Center, where the incident in question is alleged to have taken place. Brower was arrested last Monday and charged with child seduction. He is currently free on a $5,000 bond. A Toronto, Ontario police officer was arrested last Wednesday for offering an undercover officer money for sex and for violating his bail conditions from a previous charge. The Toronto Sun reports that Constable Ned Mayotis was charged in a London, Ontario road rage case and was ordered not to drive a vehicle alone as part of his conditions for release. Mayotis and five other officers are currently appearing at a preliminary hearing into a past Toronto police drug scandal. In that case, Mayotis is facing charges of conspiracy to obstruct justice, assault, extortion, attempting to obstruct justice, and perjury. Last year, 13 other charges against Mayotis were dropped because of the amount of time it took the case to go to trial. All of those charges were connected to an armed sexual assault that occurred in 2002. He was also charged with trafficking cocaine and heroin, but those charges have been reduced because of a legal technicality. Mayotis has been suspended with pay from his job since 2002. Six people facing drug charges will have their charges dropped as a result of the drug arrest of a Peel Regional Police officer. The Toronto Star says that the Canadian Justice Department confirms that charges against six people have either already been dropped or will be at upcoming hearings. More charges may be dropped in the future. The cases are all connected to Peel Regional Police Constable Sheldon Cook, who was arrested on cocaine possession and trafficking charges in November. All cases involving Cook were reviewed after his arrest. There are currently no plans to reopen any cases which are already closed. Cook is currently free on bail and has been suspended from his job. He will appear in court next on January 20th. A police officer in Hartford, Connecticut was arrested last Thursday and charged with fraud. WTNH reports that Officer Alfred Henderson is accused of fraudulently disbursing funds intended to be paid to confidential informants. An investigation revealed a pattern of illegal activity. He's been charged with first-degree larceny and four counts of forgery. Henderson has been suspended with pay and is currently free on a $50,000 bond. A police officer in Potsdam, New York, was arrested on Monday and charged with first-degree burglary. News 10 reports that Officer Tammy Mackin has been released from custody into probation supervision. She remains on administrative leave while an investigation is conducted. a Buffalo, New York police officer who pleaded guilty to a misconduct charge last October, was sentenced to pay a $2,500 fine last Friday. The Buffalo News reports that Officer Andres Ortiz was accused of using a police computer to obtain information, which he eventually passed on to a known drug dealer. Ortiz was one of the subjects of a 3-year FBI investigation when he was charged along with 8 other Buffalo narcotics officers. Ortiz retired from his job before accepting the plea deal in October. 59 out of 63 Trenton, New Jersey police vehicles recently tested by state authorities failed to pass inspection. The Trenton Times says that the vehicles were inspected after some police officials expressed concern about their roadworthiness. All of the 59 vehicles that failed to pass the inspection are still in use. The department owns a total of 120 vehicles. Some new vehicles have been purchased for the department, but a delivery date is not known. The Trenton department is reviewing procedures in their repair facility. Two police officers in Vandergrift, Pennsylvania, were arrested last Friday for selling cocaine. The Pittsburgh Post-Gazette reports that officers Robert Wright and Eric DeCrew were arrested after separate investigations. Wright was accused of selling cocaine to an undercover officer in August. DeCrew told an informant that the pair were both selling drugs and set up a deal with the informant where Wright provided the drugs. Authorities say that neither officer is accused of selling cocaine when they were on duty. Wright is charged with cocaine possession, cocaine delivery, and conspiracy. DeCrew is charged with conspiracy. A Philadelphia, Pennsylvania police officer was arrested last Tuesday for stealing money from a police locker. The Philadelphia Inquirer says that Officer Mary Leach became the subject of an investigation in September 2004 when an undisclosed amount of money went missing from the evidence room locker. Leach is charged with theft by unlawful taking, receiving stolen property, and theft by failing to make required disposition of funds received. Leach has been suspended for 30 days, after which she is expected to be fired. A warrant was issued last Wednesday for the arrest of a former Fairchance, Pennsylvania police officer after he failed to appear for the trial of a man he arrested on drug charges. The Pittsburgh Tribune Review says that Officer Ken Bittinger arrested a man for possession of a small amount of cocaine in November 2004. When he failed to appear for the trial, the judge issued a warrant for his arrest. Bittinger is facing a trial of his own. He was charged with assault after an off-duty incident outside of a Uniontown bar last year. He was suspended from his job indefinitely in March 2005. A woman claims she was brutalized by Vienna, Maryland police officers last week. The Vienna Connection says that the woman was stopped by police while she was dropping off a friend at a public transit station. She claims she complied with officers who gave her sobriety tests, but was then unexpectedly taken down by the officers. The woman suffered a broken nose and other facial injuries during the beating. The unidentified officers involved are accused of gloating about the beating. Prosecutors in Baltimore, Maryland may have to drop dozens of cases handled by a special Baltimore police unit after 5 of the squad's 6 members were charged with a variety of offenses ranging from rape to illegal gambling. WBAL reports that the unit operated between districts and targeted violent criminals and drug dealers. In November, Officer Vicky Mengel was arrested during an illegal gambling raid. She goes on trial next month on a number of gambling-related charges. On December 27, the woman complained that she was coerced into a sex act after she was taken into custody. A grand jury subsequently indicted officers Gemini Jones, Stephen Hatley, and Brian Schaefer. All 3 were charged with rape, conspiracy to rape, sexual offense, assault, and violation of official duties. All 3 are free on $100,000 bail. A recent search of a station house used by the unit discovered pornography, pirated DVDs, marijuana, heroin, and cocaine. Some of the cocaine was discovered in the pocket of an unnamed officer's uniform. That officer has been suspended pending an investigation but has not yet been charged. The city attorney's office says that as many as 300 cases may be dismissed because of the accusations against the officers. A police officer in Charlottesville, Virginia, was arrested last Wednesday and charged with assault. WCAV reports that Officer Cliff Goodwin was observed by a local magistrate having inappropriate contact with a man he arrested for drunk driving last August. A state police investigation followed, which led to the arrest. Goodwin is on paid administrative leave until the case is resolved. A Tennessee Highway Patrol officer was arrested last Friday and charged with sexual exploitation of a minor. The Tennessean says that Trooper Lonnie Carroll had two photographs of a naked 17-year-old on his cell phone. Carroll shared the images with his co-workers. He is currently on administrative leave from his job. Carroll faces a possible 6-year prison sentence if he is convicted. A shotgun and radio were stolen from a Durham County, North Carolina Sheriff's Deputy's police cruiser last week. WTVD reports that the items were taken after Deputy Michael LeMay left the vehicle unlocked in the driveway of his home. The gun and radio have both been recovered. Two police officers in Miami, Florida were arrested last Thursday and charged with stealing from a man who was a police informant. WPLG reports that officers Daniel Fernandez and Joe Lasada were both charged with burglary, grand theft, and official misconduct. The officers were responding to a complaint about drug activity when they stole money from a house which was under surveillance as part of an investigation into police misconduct. Fernandez and Lasada were already suspected of engaging in similar behavior. Both are suspended from their job and both are free on bond. A police officer in Maitland, Florida was arrested on Sunday after he shot two men during an argument over a poker game. WESH reports that Officer Daniel Metevier fired one shot into a man's stomach and another into another man's shoulder. He has been charged with aggravated battery. The victim's injuries are not life-threatening. Metevier is on administrative leave while an investigation is conducted. A police officer in DeKalb County, Alabama was arrested this week after beating her 15-year-old son. WSB-TV reports that Officer Patricia White admitted to consuming alcohol before the incident happened. She has been charged with battery. White has been placed on administrative leave and is currently being held in custody on a $2,500 bond. In the past 3 years, 37 DeKalb police officers have been charged with domestic violence-related crimes. Several police officers in Jackson, Mississippi have been fired and arrested after an internal investigation. WAPT reports that the mayor made an announcement last week that included the news that two officers had been arrested already and that more arrests would soon follow. An undisclosed number of officers have been fired from the department. In his statement, the mayor said that the officers in question were accused of offenses ranging from rape to civil rights and other misconduct violations. The chief of police in Bono, Arkansas, was arrested last Thursday for sexual misconduct with a minor. According to an Associated Press report, Chief Rick Duhon was arrested after a complaint was made by a 14-year-old on a child abuse hotline. A police officer in Fort Gibson, Oklahoma, was suspended last Friday after he was accused of stalking a woman. The Muskogee Phoenix says that the decision to suspend Officer Kelly Pierce was reached when it was learned that he had been served with a protection order filed by the woman who is the victim of the alleged stalking. The woman claims that Pierce had been following her since early December, often in his police cruiser while he was on duty. The woman claims that Pierce follows her almost everywhere she goes. Witnesses say that Pierce drives by the woman's home as many as 5 times a day. A woman in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, filed a lawsuit last week against the city and the police officer who she says illegally detained her and raped her. The Oklahoman says that the woman claims that Officer Reggie Freeman took her into custody on January the 11th, 2005, and drove her to a remote location where he forced the woman to perform a variety of sex acts. The incident was investigated after it was reported in February 2005. At that time, Freeman was placed on unpaid leave. The results of the investigation were turned over to the district attorney. The DA's office declined to prosecute the officer, and he was returned to active duty in November. Two veteran Oklahoma City police officers filed a lawsuit last week which claims that they were forced to operate under a system of quotas. The Daily Oklahoman says that the two officers say that patrol officers were expected to write between 20 and 25 tickets each month, depending on whether or not they used radar. The Oklahoma City Police Department uses a system to monitor employee performance, but it maintains that there is no quota system in place. The lawsuit claims that the quota system made the public view the police as predators, while police who failed to meet quotas were seen as slackers by their fellow officers. A Dallas, Texas police officer is accused of using excessive force while giving a woman a jaywalking ticket on Saturday. WFAA reports that Officer Cephas Gordon is accused of brutally beating the woman in front of multiple witnesses, some of whom took pictures of the beating. The incident left the woman covered with bruises and scratches and left the sidewalk where the events took place covered in pools of blood. The woman was arrested for assaulting a police officer. The Dallas Police Department has not investigated the incident, and it is not known whether or not they ever will. A police officer at the University of New Mexico was arrested on Sunday following a domestic dispute. KOAT reports that Officer Luke Montoya was released from custody on Monday night. He is accused of placing his service revolver into his mouth during an argument with his wife. Montoya has been placed on administrative leave. An inmate in Texas died last Friday at the Harris County Jail after he was shocked with a taser. A police officer in Bunn, North Carolina, used a taser on a high school student last Thursday. Police and school officials have not said what led to the girl being shocked. An independent witness claims that the officer was smiling when he shocked the child a second time with 50,000 volts of electricity. The witness says that the girl was not resisting the officer. The mayor of Birmingham, Alabama, announced last Tuesday that taser use would once again be allowed by police officers. 6 months earlier, the mayor had banned their use, saying that further study of the weapons was required. Tasers in use by Birmingham police officers must now be equipped with a camera. Taser International, the makers of the weapon, announced the development of a camera a few months ago. The cameras add about $400 to the cost of each weapon. Tasers are expected to be back on the streets of Birmingham in March. Other than the killings already reported on this show, police also killed people this week in Caledon, Ontario, Markham, Ontario, Springfield, Illinois, San Bernardino, California, Portland, Oregon, Larimer County, Colorado, Plymouth, Massachusetts, Kissimmee, Florida, Pinellas County, Florida, and Longwood, Florida, where police killed a 15-year-old boy at his school. Professor Samuel Walker teaches in the Department of Criminal Justice at the University of Nebraska at Omaha. In 2002 and 2003, he co-authored reports dealing with the sexual abuse of women by police officers entitled Driving While Female, a National Problem in Police Misconduct. I spoke with Professor Walker earlier today.
It actually began in early 2002, about this time of year, and there were a couple of cases on Long Island of police sexual abuse of women. Got a lot of publicity in the New York area, and what I do is generally sort of track all of the police misconduct news on the web, and it just got me thinking, wonder if there's more of this. And again, nationally, there's the whole issue of driving while black, and I just wondered, gosh, wonder if there's a parallel problem of driving while female.
And your conclusion is that, in fact, yes, there is such a problem.
There is. And so what we then did was to simply do a news media survey. One of the problems with this is that this problem is researching it, because it's a fairly rare phenomenon, even though across the country, the accumulated total is pretty significant. You can't go out in one department and do some observations. You'll just spend thousands of hours and you may not see anything. And so what we did was a news media survey, again using the web, of how many cases have there been of this sort. And we used a fairly strict criterion. We included only those cases where there had been some kind of resolution that really confirmed that it occurred. Let's say the officer was fired, or there was a suit and a settlement, or some criminal charges. So we didn't include just any allegation. which again could be, you know, just purely, you know, without foundation.
Are these cases that were resolved within the same year that the cases were filed, or were they cases that were resolved, say, in the year 2002, for example?
Well, in the year 2002, we counted everything we could find. Going back, I think some of the cases were, you know, even in the late 70s. We just tried to get a sense of what, how many there had been altogether. You know, cases are rarely settled in the year in which, you know, the allegations first arise. Whether it's a departmental investigation of officer misconduct or civil suit or even criminal charges, you know, those can sometimes go on for, you know, a year or several years.
You found a number of patterns, a number of things that these cases of, I guess we'll deal with the first study first, which is strictly about driving while female. You found things that these cases had in common. One of them being traffic stops.
Right. Well, that was our first assumption, because the cases that really got me started on this were traffic enforcement cases. And again, the major pattern there is that these are people in vulnerable situations. First of all, you're driving alone at night, and you know and drivers are scared. They don't know what's going to happen. It's the police officer with arrest power. And police officers understand that people are vulnerable and can easily be coerced. Related to that, many people have in fact been drinking or they've been speeding or some other violation, so they're legally vulnerable. And an officer can say, look, I won't write a ticket, I won't make an arrest if you do the following. On another case that I've actually been involved in personally, one major city, the officers would stop teenage girls who were out after curfew, and they would literally say, well, I could, you know, write you a ticket, or we'd go to the park for hugs and kisses.
Did they actually use those words?
Those are the exact words, hugs
really?
And kisses. And it was clear that it was more than just hugs and kisses.
Clearly.
But again, in the traffic cases, these are often people who are legally vulnerable. To, you know, some kind of coercion. Then, of course, there's another set of cases involving prostitutes. And again, they are, of course, legally vulnerable because they can be arrested for the business they're in.
How did the number of, say, cases involving prostitutes compare with, say, traffic stops, for instance?
Well, there were a few prostitute cases. The first year we were looking for traffic cases. And, well, that's what we found. Actually, in the second report, the year later, which was designed just to be a simple follow-up, we really stumbled across the teenager cases, you know, almost by accident, and then started using some additional search terms. Again, this is a, you know, conventional search. You're using, you know, keywords,
mm-hmm.
And it all depends on what keywords you use. So we found a whole lot more cases, and this very disturbing pattern of the cases involving teenagers, and about half of whom were involved in these police explorer programs.
These have been very controversial in the news lately. I recall that there are several police explorer programs this year in various cities in the United States that have been canceled outright. I believe California comes to mind. Could you explain for our Canadian listeners who may not be familiar with the Police Explorer program, as it does not exist here, what exactly that is?
Well, the Explorers is actually a very large program. It originated with the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. It has since been spun off. It's really a separate organization now. And it involves many different occupations and professions. And the idea is that teenagers will have an opportunity to do kind of an internship with an employer to learn about that. And the basic concept is excellent. Really give kids firsthand look at a occupation or a profession. And so it's been fairly popular with the police. And in that case, a teenager works with the police department in the Explorer program, and so they will. I do ride-alongs just to get a sense of what police work is all about. or they might work with the detective unit in about how cases are investigated.
You found that I believe it was something like 40% of the cases from the 2003 study involved both boys and girls who were who were members of police explorer programs. Is that right?
Yes, that's true. Most of the cases involve male officers victimizing teenage girls, but there have been some same-sex cases as well, where it's officers and young boys. I think one of the particularly disturbing aspects we found is that some of them involve really, young girls, 13 and 14 years old.
Mm-hmm. How does a police department, assuming that they are, first of all, actually, did you find a large amount of awareness amongst various police departments? I don't know if you've studied this at all, but was there a level of awareness of this kind of crime occurring in police ranks that existed already?
Well, there exist policies and procedures to guard against it, both at police department level and within the Explorer program nationally. They have some formal policies and procedures of things that must be done and things that must not be done. That indicates that they had some problems in the past and said, look, we need to prevent this, and so here are the following policies. So, for example, with the police explorer programs, there's a policy that says explorers may not drive police cars. That's a good policy, but it tells you that somewhere in the past, some cops were, letting these teenagers, drive the patrol cars. That's wrong. And there's a policy on not involving explorers in undercover programs. Again, that could be dangerous. So again, that obviously happened. The National Explorers Program has a policy on if there's any kind of overnight program, a trip somewhere, field trip, there have to be male and female adult escorts, chaperones, really, to supervise it. So it there is an awareness at the national level and within most police departments that there's a potential for abuse. What happens is that some departments just don't hold their officers accountable and don't effectively supervise the program.
That was going to be my next question. Have you found that these policies have been effective by and large? Or?
Well, I think in general, we found a number of cases, but it's it's not in the thousands, so for the most part it does, but we do have the failures. There's one case that, I was involved in last year, where the department had a written policy. They revised the policy and took out some of the protections. And wouldn't you know it, the officer in charge of revising the policy, he was the one who was guilty of the abuse. I mean, it's just astonishing.
You mentioned in the first report as well that police departments frequently fail to properly investigate allegations of this nature.
Yes. Again, one of the disturbing aspects was the fact that in a number of cases, these things had gone on for years. And there were more than a few officers involved. Well, when that happens, you know that other people know about it, or at least strongly suspect it. And, no one blew the whistle, and nobody in a higher authority investigated. So that's again, one of the chronic problems we have in policing, this cover-up of looking the other way, of condoning misconduct by officers. And so it applies here, just as it applies in corruption cases or other kinds of abuse.
Did you find that these complaints, these kind of complaints, are dealt with better or worse than other complaints? Because your report seems to hint that it's these particular kind of cases that aren't being investigated properly. I'm wondering if that might not be a blanket statement that might apply to other police complaints.
No, first of all, we really don't have any way of really comparing them effectively, but the failure to control officer misconduct is a pervasive problem across the country. Now, some departments have very high standards. They do investigate. They do discipline appropriately. But there's some departments where, they really fail to do so. But in those bad departments, you know, you will find, you know, corruption cases, you will find, you know, excessive physical force, and you will find, you know, sexual misconduct too. So, and so I think it really depends on what are the standards within that department. Do they have high standards of conduct? Do they have high standards of professionalism? And do they really take allegations of misconduct seriously? And when they do, that really will prevent it. Again, out there on the street level, you know, on patrol, you know, the other patrol officers know what officers are doing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know, if you've got one officer who, for example, is writing just going overboard on writing traffic tickets, the other cops know that. If one patrol officer is really shirking his duty, the other cops know that. And so if an officer is doing something improper with female drivers, stopping, you know, a suspicious number of female drivers, the other officers on duty know that. And so what happens in a good department is that word gets to a sergeant or a lieutenant, and those supervisors look into this matter, and they talk to this officer and say, hey, look, what's going on? Cut this stuff out. And that usually stops it. In bad departments, the other cops say, they look the other way.
You also describe in your report a culture of sexism that exists in policing.
Well, policing has always been a male-dominated profession.
Mm-hmm.
So it's only in the 1970s that you really had female officers being hired on an equal opportunity basis and assigned on patrol and all other kinds of assignments on an equal basis. So it's still relatively new. There's still, in a lot of departments, a lot of the old guard attitude of this is a guy's thing, and you know, the female officers don't belong here. And it's those kinds of attitudes that spill over and can easily tolerate you know, sexual misconduct. And so one aspect of this involves promotions. I think it's more likely that a female sergeant is gonna you know, take seriously an allegation or suspicion of a male officer abusing you know, teenagers or women drivers. And so if promotions are not on an equal basis and it's really a male-dominated culture, that's going to just open the door for this kind of abuse.
And you also mention another area that's a particular problem within policing generally right across North America, and that is domestic violence incidents. And you suggest in your report that the failure to investigate these means that there are sexually abusive officers potentially patrolling the streets.
It's true. There are two particular crimes where there's been a long-standing problem of the police, you know, not enforcing the law against fellow officers. And one is drunk driving,
mm-hmm.
and one is domestic violence. And in both cases, there has been a pattern of excusing the officer's behavior, of just not making an arrest in a domestic violence situation, or in the drunk driving situation of, you know, giving him a ride home and, you know, telling him to sleep it off.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, the domestic violence problem there is related to that more general problem.
Now, here's what I know about domestic violence and policing. There are three American studies that I've read that suggest that as many as 40% of police officers are domestic abusers, and that this is anywhere between, I think, two and four times the rate of domestic abuse in the general population. Did you compare sexual abuse within policing with sexual abuse committed by people who may also be in positions of power, doctors, teachers, etc., or the general population? Was there any look at the rates of offense amongst different professions in your study?
No, we don't. Partly because we can't really develop a rate for driving while female, or, you know, and all sexual abuse by officers. Again, it's a relatively rare phenomenon. If you know, if you try to study one organization,
right,
to get some kind of baseline data. So We don't have a rate there, and then again, rates don't exist for other professions as well. I would bet, again, I don't have any facts to back this up, but I suspect that there may actually be a higher rate of sexual abuse among teachers.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. Well, you can understand it. There's they actually have more opportunity.
Yes, that's true.
I mean, the nature of the job is dealing with, you know, underage people.
Yes.
Whereas a police officer really has to make a special effort. I mean, a police officer has to, you know, stop a female driver, or has to be involved in an explorer program to have that kind of, you know, close contact with a teenager.
Well, my understanding, though, is that in America, don't you have police? I mean, we don't here in Canada, but my understanding was that in America, you actually did have police officers assigned to schools.
We do. The school resource officer, SRO, has been a very big program around the country, and there's been a lot of federal funds supported that. But actually, you know, I don't think we came across any cases involving school resource officers.
I have.
You have?
Oh, yes.
It's interesting because we didn't in ours, even though you're right, that is a pretty big program across the country.
Do you still keep track of statistics, these kinds of stories?
Well, what I do is, again, I read the the police news every day, and there's there's a website, officer.com, which collects police news, and when I come across some sexual abuse cases, I print the story out and put it in the file. We haven't done a systematic update again since 2003. What I really wanted to do with this was to put the issue on the agenda, get people aware of it, get them thinking about it, and hoping that some other people in our field would think of ways to research it in a different manner, and so we could get some sense of what the rate is, or how common it is, or the differences between departments, and so on. So again, I just really wanted to kickstart this issue and put it on the national agenda.
Have you been successful at that?
Well, I've been.
Well, I guess I've read about it. So.
Right, it has come to the attention of attorneys who are representing clients in cases, and so I've had a number of calls, and I've actually been involved in a couple of cases as an expert witness. So to that extent, it has caught some people's attention. It hasn't caught the attention of criminologists and people who study the police that much. And again, it's a challenge in terms of studying it to using sort of conventional social science techniques.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming people are thinking about it, and hopefully somebody will be able to come up with the problem. What you could do is you could take one state, for example, and say, all right, some departments have had these problems and others haven't. I mean, some departments with Explorer programs have had these problems, other departments with Explorer programs have not. Is there a difference between those departments? Is there a more effective or higher level of professionalism in those that have it? And can we then begin to say that that's what prevents it? And in the departments that did have these problems, is there other evidence that their standards of accountability and professionalism are weak? So that would be one way of pursuing this issue.
Well, assuming that it's fairly accepted that this is a real problem, what can be done about it?
Well, one of the things we want to do is with this report was to bring it to people's attention, and bring it to the attention not just of journalists and lawyers and not just scholars, but also of police officials.
Mm-hmm.
And so that police chiefs and other command officers should be aware of the potential, and they should make sure that they have the proper policies in place. And also, in particular, they need to be careful in terms of screening the officers who are in charge of Explorer programs, for example. Because there was clearly, in a couple of cases, some officers with bad intention sought out this particular assignment. And they saw it as an opportunity. so...
How would that screening work? Because unless the officer had a criminal history, would there be an effective way of I hate to say weeding out the bad eggs, because I don't think that they're necessary, that it's necessarily an isolated issue, but is there a way of... how would you picture...
Well, you would basically do a background check on the officer and say, with other sergeants and lieutenants who have worked with this officer, what's this person's reputation? And do you think he would be a good officer for the Explorer program, where he's going to be dealing with teenagers, including teenage girls? And I think in a lot of cases, some of these lieutenants and sergeants can say, he may not be the best person for that job. Without going into any details, and I think people understand what is being said. And meanwhile, there will be others who will have, really impeccable records of, high standards of professionalism. So I think the kind of careful selection that you do, let's think about it. When a lot of officers want to be detectives, mm-hmm. and in most departments in the States, that's a discretionary appointment. You apply, and there's a screening process, and a few lucky people are selected. They do a lot of background checks. What is this officer's record? Is this a hardworking officer? Does this this officer have any real problems in his record? And so, it's done in other areas, in policing. It simply has to be done, for this particular assignment. But it really can be done. But it really comes down to the police chief, making sure that the care is taken to see that you've got the right policies in place, that rumors or allegations are investigated quickly and thoroughly, and that you make the right personnel assignments.
Is it your impression that this problem is becoming a greater one?
No, I can't say that. Again, we don't really have any kind of trend data.
Right.
And it's a very interesting question, because what happens is, as some social problem becomes better known, other cases come forward. This is a traumatic event. It's like sexual assault generally. A lot of people who are victims want to forget it and, hope it'll go away. When they hear about similar kinds of cases, then they're more willing to step forward. And so it creates a distorted picture, because, let's say, as our report gets out and there are more cases, other people who were victimized, 2, 3, 5 years ago are more likely to come forward. And that creates the impression of a rising trend, when in fact it really isn't the case. So again, this is just an extremely difficult issue to research and really get a firm grip on.
If you would like to find out more about Professor Walker and his work, you can visit policeaccountability.org to learn more. Police accountability is one word. Thanks to Professor Walker for taking the time to speak with us. That's all for Bad Cop, No Donut this week. Please feel free to email us your comments and story ideas. The email address for this program is ron@ckln.fm. Thanks to everyone who sent in stories for this week's show. I appreciate it a great deal. Bad Cop No Donut is produced at CKLN 88.1 FM in Toronto and can be heard in Nanaimo, British Columbia on CHLY 101.7 FM and on Rust Belt Radio, which is heard weekly on WRCT 88.3 FM in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I'm Ron Anisich. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again, hopefully, next week.
This next record is dedicated to some personal friends of mine, the LAPD. For every cop that has ever taken advantage of somebody, beaten down or hurt them because they got long hair, listen to the wrong kind of music, wrong color, whatever they thought was the reason to do it. For every one of those fucking police, I'd like to take a pig out here in this parking lot. We'll be right back.
companys morts, fot els morillos, les iures, fot morts.